and be broken in pieces. Assemble yourself from the east, north, south, and west and be broken in pieces. Take your counsels in the regions of the sea and it shall come to naught. Speak your word and it shall not stand, for God is with us.
Lift up your right hand, say in the name of Jesus, we interrupt any mischief. We interrupt in the name of Jesus every operation, advantage, advantage, foothold the enemy has among us in this house to sabotage illumination. We interrupt and deny the enemy of his advantage and foothold over us. Among us, we override principalities, powers, thrones, dominions, diviners, warlocks. We overthrow their counsel. We seize their power. We destroy the veil. We break the bewitchment. We command and declare, let the word of the Lord have a free course. Let the Holy Ghost have a free course among us. Let the embargoes be lifted. For there is no divination, incantation, or enchantment against this house anymore. In the name of Jesus, let chains be broken. Let yokes break. We disentangle our soul, our spirit, and body, and this house from every yoke of entanglement. In the name of Jesus, we disengage our spirit, soul, and body from demonic concentration. We bind demonic concentration in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the living God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm talking about faith versus process. Come with me to Hebrews 10 and 36. Hebrews 10 and 36.
For ye have need of patience.
This word patience is not preached on anymore. We don't preach on patience. We preach on faith. We preach on success, power, breakthrough, everything. But nobody is talking about patience anymore. Patience is not a word or a language acceptable, familiar with us anymore. Everything is about speed. Speed. Acceleration. Speed. Everything is about speed. But there is one race in life that God requires us to have patience to run that race, and that is our relationship with God. Every other race requires stamina and speed, but this particular race requires patience. He said, ye have need of patience,
that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
So we can. So many people are being denied of the promise. They are not receiving the promise because patience. Patience is necessary for process. Without patience, you can't go through process. And as time goes on between today and Wednesday, you will see that so many people who fail in Scripture, one of the reasons, apart from the lack of the fear of God, is the fact that they did not submit themselves to process, or they avoided process. And it is dangerous to avoid process. If a child is born today at the labor ward, and as soon as the child came out of the mother's womb, the baby sits up on the mother's bed and says, Mama, thank you for letting me come into this world. Can I have some fufu and abengkwai? And then the baby says to the doctor, Doctor, you did a good job. Number one, the doctor will collapse. Number two, the mother will go into coma. And then he turns to the security man with his gun and says, Mr. Security, I like your gun. he will throw his gun down and run. It can't happen. It just can't happen. Babies are not born today and talk today and eat a benkwine today. It just can't happen. But there are babies today, spiritual babies, who are talking, prophesying, and eating a benkwine, fufu, and ibunubunu. It's serious. No process. All in the name of faith. You can avoid process in the name of faith. You don't go about confessing faith or by faith claiming things and becoming big overnight by confession of faith. It doesn't work that way. And even when it comes to faith, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see it on Wednesday, there are different kinds and types and levels of faith. From faith to faith process. You don't get up and then becomes strong, great in faith. It don't happen that way. There's a process. Tell somebody, process. Nobody's talking about patience anymore. Everything is overnight because our society, I'm not talking about Ghana, the entire world is programmed to appreciate and to celebrate our man's definition of success. So whether you go through process or not, as long as you fulfill man's expectation or demands of success, you are a star. Everybody wants to be a star. Everybody wants to become somebody overnight at the expense of everything, at the expense of moral, at the expense of strategic relationship, at the expense of their relationship with God, at the expense of everything. They will kill, destroy, do anything to rise and to get up there without process. But if you climb up without process, you lack staying power. What gives you longevity is the process you've been subjected to. Somebody was telling me that sometime in the army, about 10,000 people will apply to join the army. And by the time they do their medical test and take them through different exams and interviews, the 10,000 is reduced to 200. And now the 200 must go to training to look at their physical stamina, endurance, behavior, attitude, character, the way you respond to instructions and to order. If you are the kind that can accept instruction, rebuke, correction, order, without reacting and being offended, all that will determine whether you become a soldier here in the Ghana Armed Forces or not. Serious training. Today, our Bible schools and our churches and things, there are no procedures. People are not subjected to anything. If you can fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights, and you can start seeing vision, which you will. If you can put the body under for that long, you start seeing. Some are hallucinations. But you will see. And if you open yourself up to the spirit world for 40 days and 40 nights without food and water, some familiar spirit will begin to show you things. So it's not just what you are seeing, but it's the source through which and by which you are seeing. Now, if you can see and you can prophesy and it comes to pass, but it doesn't match your character, or your character don't match the gift, I am suspicious of your gift. Because you can't be prophesying and seeing vision and it come to pass, and then living a life that is not consistent with the word of God. I don't want to go into anything. You have to fill in the slots yourself. But don't be confused when you see people prophesying, seeing visions, preaching, doing things, and they live a life that does not consist with the word of God. Now, there is a situation where people can be tempted. Temptation is one thing, but it's another thing when somebody has lifestyle that is not consistent with the word of God, and it's a lifestyle accepted, living by it. Don't see anything wrong about that lifestyle. Never get convicted. Don't believe in repenting and believe that that is the right thing to do, because I'm gifted, because I'm anointed, is unacceptable. None of us, by any gift or revelation or anointing, is greater than Scripture. We are subject to the word of God. Never, don't be fooled. Don't let anybody with their gift or anointing or spiritual powers deceive you, bewitch you, to believe that anybody can get away with any behavior that Scripture does not approve. God defers judgment to give us time to repent. And it's not because judgment will never come. Judgment will come, but because of who He is, He's merciful and gracious, He defers judgment to give us time to repent and to get our lives together. But it does not mean that God is afraid to judge us. And it doesn't also mean that we will not be judged. So don't let anybody deceive you that you can get away with what is wrong. For ye have need of patience, that after that you've done the will of God. Patience. Patience. Abutre. Twishito. There's no more patience anymore. But without it, we are in trouble. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 and 2.
But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob.
I created you. I created you. You are my creation. I created you. Number two.
And he that formed thee, O Israel.
I formed you. There's a difference between being created and being formed.
Mm-hmm. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee.
I have created you, formed you, and redeemed you.
I have called thee by thy name.
I've called you by my name.
Thou art mine.
You are mine. You belong to me.
When thou passest through the waters.
He said, because I created you, I formed you, I've redeemed you, you bear my name. When you go through the waters,
I will be with you.
I'll be with you.
And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee.
He said they will not. It will overflow others, but not you. Because I created you, I formed you, I've redeemed you, you bear my name. Go ahead.
When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee.
All these things are part of the process you and I must go through to prepare us to become everything God designed for us to become. You don't become what God wants you to be through desire, through a wish, or through faith or expectation. Faith has the role it plays. As a matter of faith is a foundation. I will show you on Sunday what faith is. And you can have faith and be blind. You can have faith and be blind. You can have faith and be barren. You can have faith and be unfruitful. Yet the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. But I also show it to you in the same scripture, because scripture must interpret scripture. That faith is a foundation, and you don't move from where you are living into your new house at a foundational level. You don't move in there. When the rain, the flood, and thing, it will wipe you out. And people just live and tabernacle at the place of faith. Faith is not enough. It's a foundation. I'll show you on Wednesday. Faith versus process. John 4:4.
And he must needs go through Samaria.
He must need go through Samaria. Tell somebody, process is a necessity to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus, the Son of the living God, must need go through Samaria. If Jesus must need go through Samaria, turn to somebody and say, excuse me, who are you? And say it in another way to somebody else. Who do you think you are? Jesus, God made flesh, must need go through Samaria. And you must not go through Samaria by faith or by faith confession. You must avoid Samaria and still fulfill scripture. He must need go through Samaria to fulfill scripture. And there are scriptures that we cannot fulfill until we go through process. Tell somebody, process. If a woman takes in seed and in 3 months the baby begins to push and say, mama, I can't stay here. I want to come. And the baby comes, yeah. Come out in 3 months, form, talking, and say, mama, are you okay? You will see how much chaos and confusion will take place in town. The mother will scream, Emembro. It can't happen. There are people who want to become multi-millionaires by faith. There are people prophesying. I've heard people in this church, somebody prophesy over you, you become a millionaire. And by faith, they receive it. Ain't going to happen because somebody prophesied. It's a process you must go through to become. And it came to pass. Everybody wants to become president, not just in Ghana. It's all over Africa. In Africa, everybody wants to become president. Everybody wants to be president. Do you know how many years it took this president to become president? Over 50 years. That's what you call process. That's why he's a master of his game. We just have to pray for him, because having a good intention is not enough. You need to have people with capacity who believe in your vision and are willing to sacrifice and give up their own dreams and vision to help you fulfill your vision. And that is the problem of visionaries, when you don't have people around you who will take a bullet for you, who cares about your dreams and are willing to put theirs on hold to see yours come to pass. And until we have people like that surrounding the leaders in Africa, Africa won't move anywhere. And please don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand me. It's in the church, it's everywhere. But it needs to be addressed that we need to have people to believe in the dreams of others, giving up their own. The Bible said, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man, who will give you that which is your own? Everybody is looking for their own, and nobody is willing to give up anything for others. Life is not like that. It's a process. There are people, there are young men who have great visions, and don't care about old men or old ladies. And they think that because they can see visions, they've made it. and they don't need the old man. Some young men consider me old. and no, seriously, I'm 60, so I'm growing, and I'm not going back, so I don't have a problem with that. If you think I'm old, that is fine. But a lot of the young people around, they can't stand my energy. I'm telling you. No, you don't have to clap for me. Don't clap for me. I'm just saying, they'll tell you, from Bishop Buddha, all of them, they can't stand my energy. When they are walking with me, I take them to Eburi, and we walk from the barrier to Pidiasi and back, and they faint on the way. No, there are some people sitting in the congregation right now, next to you. Ask them, are you the one he's referring to? You know? And I take them. We go to Eburi. I leave my house by 4 in the morning, and I meet them there by 4:30, and we walk from the barrier to Pidiasi and back. And I look at them, and they are fainting. Young people, they don't have stamina. And their knees are shaking. And I go and come shower, and I go to the office, and I work the whole day. Because after doing that, my energy level goes up, and their energy level falls. It's not by might nor by power. For by strength shall no man prevail. It's not about strength. See, I hear you. It's about skill and capacity and endurance. Climbing to the top to Pediasi and back is not strength, it's endurance. Abutre. Endurance, because you get to a point, you get tired. And that is when the young people don't understand that when you get tired, you shift the gear from strength to endurance and then to perseverance. You persevere. If you go to the labor ward and see a woman in labor, at the point when the pain becomes intensified and unbearable, that time is not strength in display, is endurance and perseverance. You are looking at me as if I've done it before. It's endurance, and the woman perseveres, and she endures what? Pain. Today, we want babies without labor ward. We want babies, want to give birth to babies without laboring. It doesn't work that way. Come with me. I want to show you a few things before I bring down the curtains. We'll continue on Wednesday. Genesis 2 and 7. Genesis 2 and 7.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul.
Two things here. The first Adam was a living soul. The second Adam was a spirit. Say, I hear you. Don't forget that. And I'm establishing this because I'm going to bring you somewhere. Now, the Bible said, and the Lord God did what? Form. He did not what? The Bible didn't say create. Now, go to Genesis 1:26. Look at something there. And God said, let us make man.
And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. And let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the
27,
air.
28.
And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
So man was created before he was formed. Yes, sir. If you go to Genesis 2, look at the verse, I think 8, and look at where he said, and there was no man on the earth to till the land, so God held back the rain. Okay, that is Genesis 2. But in Genesis 1, he talks about the fact that God created man.
2:5.
Genesis 2:5.
And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground.
You see, there was not a man to what?
Till the ground.
There was not a man to what?
To till the ground.
But man was created. Man was already created. So what does that mean? It means in God's imagination, God created man in his imagination, and man existed in eternity and in the spirit, but man was not formed in the physical. He hadn't taken his place, and he wasn't formed in the natural. Look at the 7th verse.
And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground.
You see? So, before man was formed, he was created. So there's a difference between being created and being formed. And that is why process is necessary. Because a lot of people have great dreams and great visions. You are creating things, and it's good to imagine things, to dream dreams. I'm a dreamer. I've been dreaming for 40 years, and I'm still dreaming new dreams. But there is a process. The dream is in the womb of time. And you got to hatch the dream in the incubator, which is the womb where you incubate the dreams and the vision. But it takes a process to move what is created from eternity into time. The Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the earth. The blood was shed before the foundations of the earth. It took 4,000 years for the blood shed before Genesis to be made manifest in Calvary. But the blood was shed. The lamb was slain. But it took a process of time for what was to become. So your dreams and your vision, they are possibilities. But it takes a process. It takes a process. Man was created, but he was not formed. And the Bible said, God withheld rain from the earth. And there was no rain because there was no man to till the land. And God said, until maturity comes, until I find a man to take his place, I'm not wasting my rain. God don't waste his blessings on people who are not ready. Because I see this over the years. People come into blessings, and when they have not been prepared and ready for it, they mess it up. It becomes abuse. We need to be ready, ladies and gentlemen. We need to go through the process. It is mandatory. It's critical. It's a daily necessity. Process is necessary for longevity. And the reason why people don't live long these days, apart from many other reasons, is the fact that many a times people don't want to go through process. And when you avoid process and you don't go through process, you become a victim and a casualty to demonic attacks. Don't avoid process. It's necessary. The difference between the first Adam and the second Adam, ladies and gentlemen, is this. The first Adam did not go through process. He was just created. No process. And because he did not go through process, he didn't value or appreciate what he had. So he could easily... The second Adam was not a soul, was a spirit. But he was not created. He was formed. He was born. He was carried in the womb of a woman for 9 months. Went through the process of growing in the womb of a woman and was born. And the Bible said, and the child grew and waxed strong and increased in stature and in wisdom and in favor with God and with man. And let me correct something here. This thing where we think that if I have favor with God, it's enough. I don't need favor with any man. It's not true. So we disrespect people and think that you can behave any way, anyhow, and because you have God's favor, you can get away with it. It's not true. Jesus, even Jesus, had favor with God, but it wasn't enough. He had to have favor with man. You need favor with God, and you need favor with man. If you have favor with me, I will overlook protocol. If you have favor with me, I will overlook a lot of things. I'll let you get away with things. But if you don't have favor with me, I will hold you accountable of everything. Jesus was born. The first Adam did not grow. The first Adam did not grow. But the second Adam was born. The first Adam was not born. The first Adam didn't go through process. The first Adam, second Adam, went through process. Look at what the Bible says about the second Adam. Hebrews 5:8.
Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered.
Who? Go who?
Jesus.
Who is this?
Jesus.
Who is he talking about?
The second Adam.
Second Adam. Who was the second Adam? The Jesus. Son of God. And the Bible said, though he was a son, yet learnt he obedience by the things which he suffered. Today there is no suffering and endurance in the church. We don't want to suffer anything. We don't want to endure anything. Everything is a shock to us. Everything surprises us. We make noise over everything. We cry over everything. We have issues with everything. Just because we are children of God don't mean we won't have challenges. It doesn't mean we don't have problems. Challenges and problems are for the living and not the dead. Though he was a son, yet learned you. The first Adam didn't learn obedience. He didn't know anything about obedience. The second Adam did through the many things he suffered. You talk about obedience, Lord have mercy. I'm learning every day. Still learning obedience. It's a learning process. Tell somebody, it's a learning process. It is never too late to fall. It's never too late to fall. So I'm always on my guard. I'm always on my guard. I watch a lot. Bible says, watch and pray. You can't pray effectively if you are not watching. So I watch a lot. Yesterday, some two friends of mine came to see me and they said, Papa, we've watched you. You are too intense spiritually. Intense. And I just said to myself, you call me any name, it doesn't bother me as long as it works for me. Sometime after church, I want to take some of my kids to lunch, especially in my lap. I said, no, I don't want to hang with you. And I said, why? So you are too spiritual for me. I said, don't worry, son, one of these days you will appreciate the benefit of spirituality. And when you have tried all having fun and hanging around all those your guys, you will come to me. I'm waiting.
Yes, sir.
Solomon got it at the end. He said, all is vanity. All is vanity. You know, when you are young, you think you have all the answers. Sometime when I was young, my father used to say, Akorana o dear Nicholas. Akorana o dear Akoradi ubiya yebida. Opinion ubiya yebida. Ne kanwanti au kwanti antikurum. Na uben shuwan outis a kotobawa Nicholas. Uh, That interpretation, you have to ask somebody to help you with it. Amen. Say process. Now, because of time and the second service, the car park situation, we need to find a way to fix it. We need more space for car park. But there was a difference between the first and the second Adam. And it was a problem of process. Then I find out that one of the problems of Solomon, why at an old age, though he was the wisest man that ever lived and the richest of all the kings of Israel, apart from the fact that he lost the fear of God, one of the reasons why Solomon didn't make it was the lack of process. Solomon didn't go through process. Solomon became overnight. David was old. He was dying. God said, appoint Solomon. Bypass everybody else. Give him the throne. He came on the throne without process. What was the difference between him and David? David went through process. He was anointed the first time as king of Israel before his brethren at the age of 17. Then at the age of 25, he became king over Judah. Then at the age of 30, he became king over Israel. Process. 17 to 25. 25 to 30. Solomon made overnight. It doesn't work that way. Tell somebody, process is necessary. You know, I've been talking to some more time billionaire friends of mine, and every one of them tell me something. There is one particular one. He worth over $5 billion. And one of the things I appreciate about these billionaires is they don't give you money. And I have learned through a Jewish friend of mine that don't ask a rich man money. Ask him to show you how he made it. And when I talk to them, I realize that they think differently. I was talking to one of them the other day. We went to the tent. We were talking about something. And I had this business idea. And he said, no. That is not how you do it. So he told me that this is how you have to look at it. And I said to myself, how come I never saw it that way? Very simple. But he had a different approach to the whole thing. And I had to stop everything to start all over again. And that is worth money. And to him, that is a lot of money. And you know why it's true? Because this world is not ruled by money. This world is ruled by ideas. It's ideas. That's it. First Samuel 16, 11 to 13.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah.
That was the first time he was anointed. First time. It was an anointing of recognition that you've been recognized. But recognition does not mean that you've been appointed. So we have to be careful that people acknowledge or see our potential or giftings or abilities. We don't assume that because you've been recognized, you have arrived. It is just the beginning. And hear me, I've studied this thing very well. It took me 40 years to say some of the things I'm saying. Anything that you didn't earn, you can't maintain. Please don't forget this. And you know how I got to know it? I've watched a lot of things that came my way without process. I couldn't keep it. The things I have maintained and kept and still have a hold and a handle on are the things I end through process. Any lifestyle you can't maintain, you didn't earn it. And if you did not earn it, you won't maintain it. You cannot. You have to scheme and lie and steal and do everything to maintain that lifestyle. Talking to a young lady, and she's living a life that she can't maintain because she has a sugar daddy that is sponsoring that lifestyle. And I said to her, I said, girl, you are better than this. I said, you are better than this. And she said, but Papa, what do you want me to do? My father refuses to take care of us. My mother is a woman. She doesn't have much to take care of us. This man cares about me. And I said, if he cares about you, let him pay the bills without your body. But if he needs your body as compensation for his kindness, then he doesn't care about you. He's exploiting and taking advantage of you. And I said, I can't guarantee you anything, but I know one or two people I can talk to. And if you can be helped to get something doing, because you are creative. And I like helping these young ladies. So a lot of these young ladies, if they can be helped, they have good head. I'm telling you, there are a lot of these young ladies who have good head. And if we can help them, we are sponsoring some young ladies from the streets right now on Wednesday. We're having dinner here. And Ghana Israeli Chamber of Commerce, I'm sponsoring two young ladies to send them to school, get a trade and everything. And I'm taking care of that sponsorship. Because I believe that if we can help some of these young ladies, we will also help sugar daddies to behave themselves. And if that doesn't work, then we will pray and bankrupt them because they are mishandling what they've been given. Because if she's your daughter, the only reason why you are sleeping with her is because she's not your daughter. But if she's your own daughter, flesh of your flesh and bone of your bone, you have compassion and help her. And tell her no. Even if she tries to show gratitude and appreciation, and she say, "Oh, I just want you to," you say, "No, no, 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 young lady, no. Keep yourself. There is a man for you. There's a good man out there for you. So keep yourself." But the reason why, you know, hear me. And do you know why I think the way I think? Because me, I came from the ghettos. And I was raised by a single mother. I saw my mother struggle to raise us. I saw how my mother had to struggle to pay school fees of some of my siblings. I saw the struggle. And I know how both men and women can be taken advantage of when you are desperate. But I pray that no matter how desperate you become in life, that the God of all grace will always make a way of escape for you. Say amen. You know, a guy came to see me the other day, and he was telling me about a lady married, doing very, very well, and married to a very wealthy guy. And the guy doesn't come to this church for whatever reason. He doesn't like me, you know. And I have no problem with that. Not everybody will like me. I don't go around wanting everybody to like me. There are some who will like me and some who won't. And that is what life is. It's all part of the process. And he said, Papa, the lady spoke about you, man. And he said, I was touched and I think you should know. And he said she was pregnant. She'd have kids. And this time around, they didn't plan, and it just happened. And it was in the mix of the pinnacle of her career. Everything was happening for her. And that wasn't the time she wanted to make babies. And she had made babies already to have time to pursue her career. And that was her Kairos time. And she got pregnant. And I was preaching. And sometimes I don't know why I say the things I say. And she said, I said that you don't know what you are carrying. You are carrying a miracle. Don't abort that child. And don't sacrifice that child for your career. It wasn't part of my preaching. I just said it. And I went on preaching. And she had already convinced the husband that she doesn't want the pregnancy. And the husband had agreed that she should go ahead and abort it. And she said, when I said that on television, she said, whatever I said arrested her. She couldn't shake it off. She struggled and wrestled and struggled and wrestled. And she kept the baby. And the baby was born. And that child today is the best among all the other kids. And even though she doesn't come to church here, she said to this guy, she said, you know, that Archbishop, I don't go to action, but I'm telling you, don't mess with that guy. And the guy said, what are you saying? He said, he saved this child of mine. And he told the guy the story. And he said, I'm looking for an opportunity to go and see him and thank him and give him something. But it's so difficult to find him. I don't know why it's so difficult to see me. Is it true? It's difficult to see me. Wow. Hey. Then I need help. What's up with that, man? Me here, I'm what? That's why I appointed Bishop Kwesi. Where's Bishop? Bishop Star. Okay. Bishop Kwesi is the bishop responsible for my office. Now, I've given him one of my phone numbers, the 026, which a lot of you have. So if you want to see me, and it's very serious, see Bishop Kwesi. Now, one of the qualifications to see me is that you must be part of a home cell. Now, I will see you if it's life and death. But the easiest way to see me is to be part of a home cell, because all the home cell leaders have access to me. Now, I said something and some people had issues with it, and they said I shouldn't have said that. I said that whether you tithe or not, if you have to see me, I will see you. That I'm not going to refuse to see you because you don't tithe, because some people don't work, so how do you expect them to tithe? And tithing has nothing to do with your salvation or your eternity. It has to do with your physical, financial prosperity and progress. And it's two things about tithing. One, that you acknowledge that God is your source. So if you decide not to acknowledge God as your source, it's your problem. It's your problem. Your resources will dry up. Number two, God said, if you tithe, I will rebuild the devourer. So if you don't tithe and the devourer comes at you, that is between you and the devourer. I can't help you with that one. You understand? So I'm not going to make a doctrine out of the fact that if you don't tithe, you're not a member of the church. I'm not going to see you. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm better than that. And you are better than that. See, I hear you. And the Bible says, here, men who die receive the tithe. There, he receiveth it. When you are coming to give the offering, Bishop, use that scripture. Here, men who die receive it. There, he receives it. So we receive it here on his behalf, and he receives it there. So that is New Testament, so you can look at it. But we'll continue on Wednesday. I need you to appreciate the fact that, ladies and gentlemen, if you go through process in life, you will end up well. Now, I said that one of the reasons why Solomon did not make it was because of lack of process. Then his son, Rehoboam, he also failed because he didn't go through process. Then lastly, before Wednesday, I'll show you something. Wednesday, I want to show you the different levels of faith and how you obtain those levels of faith. And the fact that faith is a foundation we build upon. So you can't just be moving by faith. Even though the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight, and the just shall live by faith, you must understand the technicalities and the rules of engagement that governs faith to be able to appreciate the context of the text of every scripture that relates to faith. Two things. The first king of Israel, Saul, failed because of the lack of process. Saul didn't go through any process. He became the people wanted a king, so God gave them a king. He became a king overnight, no process. Look at me. May I please suggest to you, don't accept overnight prosperity, overnight breakthroughs, overnight exposures, overnight money, overnight relationship. Don't do it. If you meet a man today and she says, "Girl, I feel you. I've been waiting for you, girl. You don't know how long I've been waiting, baby. You are the thing that I've been waiting for all these years. I know that it is you. Without the shadow of doubt, girl, we're going to marry today. Will you marry me?" Don't even say, "Let me pray about it." Tell him, "I want to get to know you. I want to know you." Because you don't marry by faith, you don't marry by feelings. And marriage is not love. Marriage is responsibility, and marriage is purpose. And marriage is not chemistry, and marriage is not sex. All those things are benefits. But the real thing is responsibility and purpose. When I married at the age of 24, I didn't know why I married. And if you had asked me, "Why did you marry?" I'll tell you, I was told I should marry so that I won't sin. Don't marry for looks. Marry for character. Marry character. And don't marry a girl because she's beautiful. Check her background. Check her mother, her aunties. And study the family tree of that family, how the women of that family do. And don't marry a man because he's handsome. Find out who the father is. And check the uncles. Like mother, like father. May I prophesy to somebody here that I am talking to potential financial moguls. And I use the word potential. I'm talking to potential millionaires, potential first ladies, potential ambassadors, potential oil sheikhs, business magnates, ministers of state, presidents and potential world movers, potential world changers, potential community transformers, potential men and women who will change the course of their generation. You know what potential is? Potential is what you are capable of, which you haven't yet become. I'm releasing that potential and I'm prophesying in the name of Jesus. Now, I know some of you are looking at me and so, "Archbishop, do you know my age? Do you know how old I am?" Caleb was 84 years. How many? Say 84. And at 84, he took a mountain. You know, old age is in your head. Amen? Even though I'm 60, I don't see myself as 60 old. I see myself around 40. You know why you didn't clap for me? Because you didn't believe. But I believe I'm 40. Now, hear me. You can reverse aging. You can reverse aging. I do 10,000 steps every day. You know, 10,000 steps a day. And I won't sleep till I get my 10,000 steps. And I have to get it before 12 midnight, because as soon as it's 12 midnight, it gets to zero. That means I have to begin again. And I won't sleep till I get my 10,000 steps. Even yesterday night, about 11 o'clock, I was dozing and I was still walking. This holds me accountable. What am I saying? In life, you must allow somebody to hold you accountable. Don't live a life where nobody holds you accountable. Nobody can hold you. You're a master of yourself. Don't do that. It's dangerous. Be held accountable. And have people around me who hold me accountable. If you need me, you can find me. If I'm not home, I'm here. If I'm not here, I've gone somewhere. And everybody knows where I'm going to. And they know where I'll be back. Don't live a life where you disappear. And people don't know anything about you. It's not good. Be held accountable. You need 10,000 steps a day to live long.